KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson. We begin in Mexico, where, as you've been hearing all morning, over 200 people were killed due to yesterday's 7.1 magnitude earthquake near Mexico City. It's the second significant quake to hit the region in less than 2 weeks. Seismologist Walter Mooney is with the U.S. Geological Survey. He's worked closely with Mexican scientists and says they know there's going to be more of these quakes down the road because Mexico is earthquake country.
And believe me, they are working hard on this problem and are well aware of the hazard that they face. Now, nobody can predict earthquakes, but the Mexican scientists were very well aware that there could be this kind of an event. And in fact, for the 8.1 event, they did have a successful earthquake early warning that was distributed in Mexico City and gave people, 10, 20, 30, and 40 seconds of warning, depending on their location, of the impending shaking. So Mexico is on top of things.
Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, anxiety ran high as relatives waited for word that their loved ones in Mexico were safe. The California Report's John Sepulvedo takes us to the Boyle Heights neighborhood.
The epicenter might have been near Puebla, Mexico, but some 1,900 miles away here on the streets of Boyle Heights, the earthquake still shook people. Many were waiting to hear from loved ones.
I haven't been able to communicate with my family. I don't know why.
The 73-year-old woman, who did not give her name because she is undocumented, says she has not heard from her relatives living near Mexico City.
I just know that it was very strong, but don't know about my family yet.
And even for those who had heard from their loved ones, relief did not come. At a laundromat here on First Street, people's hands were in one country while their eyes were in another, as they loaded and folded their clothes while constantly looking at the television. Images of shaking buildings and explosions created a sense of hopelessness for some, including Eduardo Vasquez. The 30-year-old says his family in Puebla is safe, but they will need to completely rebuild their home.
Mal porque, pues, es triste.
It feels ugly for the other people affected by it, because it could have been my family. The neighbor's land did shift, and their houses have some damages. But right now, my family's just scared.
And while it's too soon to know how much rebuilding will cost, the collections for recovery have already begun here in Boyle Heights. Like most of the people living in this neighborhood, a man who calls himself Chalio is Latino. And he says between hurricanes and two recent earthquakes in Mexico, his friends and family will need money.
Saw what happened in Puerto Rico and Texas. It's hard. Look at the businesses. They are sad. No one is around because of all the things that are happening.
The world is connected, Chalio says. And right now, that world is a mess. For the California Report, on the corner of First and Alma Streets in Boyle Heights, I'm John Sepulveda.
So remember when the price of EpiPens shot sky high? Well, Governor Jerry Brown must decide next month whether to sign a controversial bill that would force pharmaceutical companies to justify big price hikes on drugs. The industry has put up a big fight. KQED reporter April Demboski explains why other states are keeping a close eye on what happens with it now.
California lawmakers tried several times in the last couple years to do something about skyrocketing drug prices, only to watch their proposed bills crash and burn. Then this happened.
Firestorm of controversy over the price of life-saving EpiPens.
Cost of those EpiPens has risen nearly 500%.
Of course, the voices expressing outrage at the
momentum grew. Federal lawmakers called for hearings, several proposed bills to rein in drug costs. Then this happened.
Donald J. Trump.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, elected president of the United States.
Let the health care battle begin.
Repeal and replace.
Repeal and replace Obamacare.
Congress forgot all about drug prices. So California lawmakers decided to try again. State Senator Ed Hernandez reintroduced his bill. It requires drug companies to give notice anytime they plan to raise the price on a drug by 16% over 2 years. And they'll have to explain why the increase is necessary. Hernandez says political support grew quickly this time around from more than just the usual suspects.
And it wasn't just labor. It was consumer groups. It was health plans. It was the chambers of commerce. It was the hospital association.
Hernandez is optimistic the governor will sign the bill into law, but he knows nothing's certain. just when he thought he'd secured all the votes he needed, at the last minute, they started slipping away.
All those vote who desire to vote. All those vote who desire to vote.
The bill needed 41 votes to pass the full assembly, then floundered at 35. Hernandez says he had plenty of colleagues willing to be the 42nd vote. But with drug lobbyists swarming the Capitol, no one wanted to be the deciding vote.
If the bill fails and you're stuck out there, then, you know, you're the person that's attacking that industry.
But once the threshold was passed, everyone glommed on. In the end, the bill passed with 66 votes. All the Democrats and two-thirds of Republicans in the state assembly voted for it, much to the dismay of drug companies. Priscilla Vanderveer from the industry's trade group says the regulations could stifle innovation.
That takes up a lot of resources and will take up a lot of time. And that could mean pulling resources from research and development and having to put it into the reporting structure.
Experts say the drug industry just doesn't want a large, influential state like California forcing them to share their data with the rest of the country. Gerard Anderson is a public health professor at Johns Hopkins.
Other states get to essentially piggyback on the good efforts of California, and hopefully, because they might have difficulty justifying the price increases, everybody's prices around the country will be lower.
But Anderson warns that drug makers are likely already planning ways to work around the bill, so it's unclear how much valuable information will come from it. For the California Report, I'm April Dymbosky.
Support for the California Report comes from PaintCare, now with more than 800 drop-off sites in California where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web, theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And that's the California Report for Wednesday, September 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. I hope you enjoy your day.